my friends, we have come almost to the end of this Praying with Jesus series as we have been exploring the Lord's Prayer. There's 1 week left. Reverend Ron will wrap things up with us next week. But I had to chuckle to myself as I saw which line I had to preach on this morning. And I know this robe hides it a lot, but I'm only 2 weeks from my due date here. And so I chuckled to myself thinking, really, this is the line that the last time I'm in the pulpit before my maternity leave that we're trying to figure out, this difficult, difficult line of the prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think I got the most challenging assignment in this whole series. I have a bone to pick about that. But I just kept thinking about all the questions that this line raises for me, and maybe it raises these questions for you as well. What exactly is temptation? Where does it come from? Does God actually lead us into temptation, or does somebody else do that? What is evil? Where does evil come from? How do we recognize evil? How can we avoid evil? What does being delivered from evil mean? Do we have any role to play in all of this? And on and on and on my questions come to the point where I think we could write a whole sermon series on just this line. There's so much packed into this one line of prayer, to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a big thing we are asking God to do. And no part of it, I think, is bigger than that question about evil. This talk of evil at the end. And honestly, we don't use this language a lot in our church or in our day-to-day lives, this language of evil. And so I want to spend a little bit of time with that as we figure out what does that mean for us, practically speaking, as we pray, deliver us from evil. Today's scripture from Paul's letter to the Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul tells us that while we live our lives here on earth each day, that behind the scenes there's this big cosmic battle going on. He says it's a struggle against the rulers, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. And I want to pause here because I want to acknowledge that there are different views of this in the room right now. For some of us sitting in the pews, we hear this scripture language about evil and the devil and demons fighting against God, and we think, yes, that is exactly what is happening, and that is compelling language. Some of us, this is how we think about our faith, that we think that there is a devil and that the devil is at work, and the devil is countering the purposes of God. And anytime we are seeking to obey God and we have an obstacle in our way, that is evil at work. That's the devil at work getting in our way, fighting against God. For some of us, this is very natural language for our faith and how we see the world. And yet at the same time, I want to name that for some of us in this room, this is not natural language for us. For some of us, if we're honest, this is strange, abstract language that sounds a little superstitious and a little foreign. I know that there are some of us in the room who this cosmic battle thing sounds an awful lot like Star Wars, and this demon thing sounds an awful lot like a Marvel movie, and so it's just hard to figure out what it actually means for us. I get that there's all different understandings of this in the room. I just want to name that up front. But however you think about it, however you frame it, whether you call it the devil or you call it something else, I want us to all be on the same page in understanding one thing, and that is that evil is real. Whatever you call it, evil is real. It is a force in our world. It is a force with power, a force that creeps in on us. Let's not be naive and think that it's just a superstitious fairy tale thing. Because no matter whether you call it Satan or not, it is true. And I know you can think of examples in your own world, how it is true that in every nation and in every community and in every family, there are dark forces at work. I'm sure you can imagine the negativity that impacts your own world. Think about those things that prevent neighbors from talking to each other, or those things that prevent families from caring for one another, or those forces that even speak in your own mind, maybe breaking down your own faith and confidence. evil is real, call it what you like, but it affects us. There are negative forces in the world that are powerful and that are real. And yet, even as we accept that there is a real good versus evil thing happening, we don't have to just recognize the danger of evil. That's not the whole truth. Because even though it's good versus evil, it's not an equal fight. Amen? We do not have to be afraid of evil. Because when you start to see that evil, I know it's tempting, right? When you start to see that evil is real, you start to get overwhelmed. You see how brokenness and sin is everywhere. And we can just throw up our hands and start saying, well, we're just all going to go to hell in a handbasket, as they say. But don't get caught in that trap either. Because this is not an even fight, good versus evil. Even as we're caught in the middle of that fight, caught in that conflict, there is assurance in Scripture and in our faith that God has already won the greater war, the greater cosmic war between good and evil. We know the outcome from the start. That's why I wanted us to sing this hymn that we just sang. The strife is o'er, the battle is won. It's an Easter hymn. The words are from 1600s from the Latin. And I want to read to you just the first couple verses, because this declares how even if we're caught in the battle, the end result is already victory in God. It said, strife is over, the battle is done. The victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. Alleluia. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions have dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. Alleluia. It's over. The strife is over. The battle is won, the hymn declares. Now I have to back up here and admit to you that this is weird language for me. For me, talking in battleground imagery, the language of armed conflict, it feels really weird to me. My parents are children of the 70s. They're pacifist people. And so this whole, like, battleground language is just sounds foreign coming out of my mouth. I don't usually talk this way. But when we look at the scriptures and we try to understand what the scriptures say about evil and how it works in the world, that is the language that we see. It's a language of conflict, of a cosmic war, where the end is certain, and yet the battle still rages on. It's like the end of World War II, where you knew the Allies were going to win, even though there were a couple battles still happening. The battles were still occurring on the ground, but you knew the outcome already. And so we don't have to be afraid in those battles, because God is the one fighting the greater war, and the one who has already declared victory. And yet, we are caught in those battles. And so from the trenches of our lives, we pray. We pray to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if you'll notice, this prayer is both for defense and for offense in the conflict. First part's for defense. Lead us not... Oop, Lee, I skipped. There you go. The first part's for defense. Lead us not into temptation. That is, we're praying when temptation comes our way, God, defend us and protect us and prevent it from overwhelming us. I'm incredibly moved by how earlier this year, Pope Francis said, you know, I think English-speaking Catholics need to change how they word this part of the Lord's Prayer, because this is misleading. The Pope has said that he thinks we need to make it clear that God does not lead us into temptation. And so it said that actually we should be praying, do not let us fall into temptation. He says it this way. He says, I am the one who falls. It is not God who tosses me into temptation in order to see how I fall. For a father does not do this. A father helps his child get up right away. But the one who leads us into temptation is Satan. That is Satan's craft. And so the meaning of our prayer here is, when Satan leads me into temptation, please God, give me a hand. Give me your hand. The prayer for defense against temptation. Lead us not into temptation. God, do not let us fall into temptation. We all know what temptation's like, right? Reverend Lee said I should give you a basket of Kit Kats and tell you not to eat them till the end of the service. And then you'd know what temptation was like. We're tempted to spend money. We're tempted to gossip with friends. We're tempted to eat that Kit Kat the moment we pick it up. As Paul says in Romans 7 so eloquently, we do not do what we want, but the very thing we hate. It's the definition of giving in to temptation. And this is all because we're tempted by our own desires, and we're tempted by the people around us, and we're tempted by the culture at large. And so in the battle, we need to pray for defense. Pray for God to help us, to protect us, to lead us away from temptation, to prevent us from falling when we feel assaulted. This is the defensive prayer in the midst of the battle. But then, by the same token, we pray for the offensive tactic, deliver us from evil. I like to picture this like we are caught in enemy territory, and we are praying for God to send an extraction team to pull us out and to deliver us. Deliver us from evil. Pastor and author Albert Mohler points out that this is not just a prayer for God to help us a little bit, or for God to give us a little bit more strength. No, he says, we do not meet God halfway and trust him to do the rest. Rather, God does it all. He is the deliverer, and we are the delivered. He is the Savior, we are the saved. The Bible does not teach that God helps those who help themselves. Instead, God helps those who are at the end of themselves. We're not on the extraction team. We need the saving, right? Deliver us from evil, God. Deliver us from the evil one. Save us. God is the one who is running defense and who is running offense. God is the one fighting the war. God is the one who is in charge of it all. And so though we are caught in the battle, we pray, because we do not have to be afraid, because we know who is running this whole thing. But I want to say one more thing. Because we are not just pawns, even though this is a bigger behind-the-scenes conflict that we are caught up in, we are not just pawns in this bigger game, right? This is not God's cosmic game of chess. We're not just objects waiting to be moved, incapable of making choices. We trust in God's work, it's true, and we pray for God to do the primary work of defending us and delivering us, and that's true, but we too have work to do. We have work to do as well that supports the purposes of God. That's why Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. It's why he reminds us of the tools that God has given us as we train for these battles. We have the power, he says, of truth and justice, the promise of the gospel to move our feet. We have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation protecting us from whatever harm might come our way. We have the word of God, the powerful blade of the Spirit, to cut through any lies that would tear down the kingdom of God. These are powerful tools that Paul reminds us of, gifts God has given us. And I would add one more gift, if I could, to this list. That gift is the church, right here. At its best, I believe that the church is a place where we can encourage one another as we train for the battle and as we trust in God. This is the place, the community, where we learn how to use the tools God has given us to stand up in the midst of the fight, where we train one another, where we train in Scripture. And this is the place, this is the community, too, where we learn how to trust. We learn how to trust that God's tools will be effective, that God will do the deliverance, that God will win the war. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, may you train hard, and may you trust even harder. May you pray this prayer with confidence as children of God. And may you, in praying this prayer, find that you are freed from your fear, because God has already won the war. Amen.